Now, we are going to be looking at Jeremiah chapter 23. If you've got one of the church Bibles, it's on page 788, or one of the brown large print Bibles, page 1187. We're going to be looking at part of that in a moment, if you'd like to turn there and get things ready. But I have a question for you first this morning. And the question is this. Have you ever assembled a trampoline? Have you ever assembled a trampoline? Some of you are nodding. Well, if you come to the garden of our house and you weigh less than 50 kilograms, you'll have the opportunity to go on a Thomas Family trampoline. And I remember when we assembled the Thomas Family trampoline, before we could actually start the assembly, in the instruction booklet, we had to read this page, Danger. And as you can see by the amount of text on that page, trampolining, pretty dangerous. And especially if you consider that after the danger page, you get this page, warning. And not just one warning page, no friends, there are 2.5 warning pages. Danger, warning, warning, warning. This is before you get to the list of components. Even opening the box is dangerous. Now I wonder, what would you do confronted with all of this text of danger and warning? Are you the sort of person who would look at these warnings and would resolve never to even look at a trampoline ever again? They're so dangerous. Or are you the sort of person who would do what we did and thought, this company is just trying to avoid getting sued and just use a bit of common sense and everything's going to be okay? We meet lots of warnings as we go through life in different places, different products, different situations. Some of those warnings we take more seriously than others, don't we? Some warnings we might even ignore completely and think that we know better. And in some cases we might do, in other cases we might not. And this morning's image of the Bible that we're given comes with a word of warning. But this is a warning that all of us need to take seriously. This is a warning for all of us to take seriously. A warning about our response to God's word. But not a warning to drive us away, to drive us away from his voice, to hide from it. But a warning to drive us to know him more and to find true life in him. And it's the image that we find in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. The image of God's word as a hammer. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. So we're in the middle of this book of Jeremiah. We don't need to worry too much about the story of Jeremiah this morning. Some of you will know it, some of you won't. The important thing for us this morning is that in this chapter, we see two voices. We hear two voices, and two voices that are still in the world today. Some things don't change. And I'll just pick up the reading from verses 16 to 20 of Jeremiah 23, and we'll see those two voices. Jeremiah 23 from verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. We'll leave things there for a moment, but you have these two voices in Jeremiah's day, two voices in the world today. The first voice, that voice in verse 17, the voice that says, everything's fine. Everything is fine. God is basically happy with the world. It'll all be okay in the end. Everything is fine. It shall be well with you. No disaster shall come upon you. Follow your own heart, and it will be well with you. This is the voice that I followed in the first 18 years of my life. If there is a God and there is a heaven, well, I'll be okay. Everything is fine. God is basically happy with this world. It'll all be okay. I'll just follow my heart, follow my own way of living, live as I please. Everything's fine. Just be yourself. Just follow your heart. And as long as you don't do something outrageous, as long as you're not a paedophile or a terrorist, you'll be okay. That's the first voice. And it's a voice that is quite appealing to listen to think that it doesn't really matter. We can just follow our own heart. And it's a voice that makes some sense in this world, because we look out the window and we see that God, who created this world, well, he's still causing the sun to shine. The sun is still shining, and it is actually shining today, even in South Wales. So surely God is happy and everything is fine. It's all okay, the first voice. But to people listening to that first voice, a second voice speaks. The tone changed a bit after verse 17. There were all these words like wrath and tempest and wicked and anger. God speaking and saying, well, actually, everything is not fine. The voice that comes to us through the Bible, everything is not fine. It's true that God is a generous God. He's a generous creator who causes the sun to shine and gives us so much. And it's true that he's the good creator who created us to know him. And the beginning of human history, it started with love, with God's love to people. But that doesn't mean that we can just live however we want. It's not up to us to decide how to live in this world. This is still God's world. He's still in charge. It's his world. We were created by him, for a purpose. It's not up to us just to decide how we live. God has spoken to tell us how to live. And if we ignore what he has said, we're guilty of that word that Pat showed us, that bad news word, sin. The Bible tells us about sin, about our attitude of rebellion against our good creator, our rejection of him, our turning away from him, our decision to follow our own heart and live as we please. And the sun keeps shining, even when we turn away from God, even when we're guilty of rebellion against him, even when we're guilty of sin. The sun keeps shining, but not to encourage us to keep ignoring God, but to encourage us to listen to him. Two voices. One saying, everything is fine, follow your heart. Then God's voice speaks and says, no, there's a problem. There's a problem with your heart. And all of us like the idea of listening to voice number one that says everything is fine, we can live how we want. That's the voice that we instinctively grow up listening to in this world. And we grow up as people who are guilty of sin, guilty of rebellion, guilty of rejecting God's voice and living how we please, sometimes with a bit of religion over the top of it, but following our own way. And as we live in that way, as we live listening to voice number one, then this image of God's word comes to us, this question comes to us as a warning in verse 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? God sees what's going on. God hears what's going on. And he says, my word, well, is not my word like fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Where this other voice, this voice one, it doesn't have any substance. It's in verse 28, like straw compared with wheat. There's no substance to it. But this word, the word of God, does have substance. And more than that, it comes with power, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And if God's word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, and we're ignoring it or rejecting it, where does that leave us? This word is not a word that's safe to ignore. This voice is not a voice that we can ignore and pretend everything is fine, everything is okay. The warning here is not my word like a hammer, says God, that breaks the rock in pieces. Not safe to ignore, especially when we consider what kind of hammer this is. This is not like the kind of little hammer you use to break up a slab of toffee. This is a hammer that breaks rock. This is a hammer that has real power and force. When we consider that this word of God comes with the power and authority of the one who speaks that word, God, creator of heaven and earth, the one who at the beginning spoke these words, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. That's power. That's authority. Is that the kind of word you'd want to stand in the way of? This one who speaks with the power and authority of the one who, in verse 24, fills heaven and earth. The one who fills heaven and earth, he speaks with that power and authority. Is that a voice we want to stand up against? That's the voice that we hear in the Bible. The Bible, which is not just letters on a page, it's the living and active word of God coming with the power and authority of the God who speaks that word. The Bible is clear throughout that that's the voice that we're hearing. When we listen to the Bible, we're hearing God's voice coming with power and authority. The voice of the one who said, let there be light, who spoke this world into being. That's the voice we're hearing. And nothing else explains what this book is like. Nothing else explains the impact that this book has had in history and the lives of people across the world. That this is the voice of God coming with power and authority. And for those of us who grow up in this world, as we all do, instinctively listening to voice number one that says everything is fine, this comes as a warning to us. Is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? The warning is there for us on a page. God's voice speaks with power and authority. And what would happen? What would happen if we kept ignoring that voice, that word of God? What would happen if we just went through the whole of life always listening to the voice that says everything is fine, it will be well with you, follow your heart? What would happen? Well, God would have the final say. And his words will come like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. It will come on a day of judgment that is coming, to break all rebellion and all opposition to him. And we face the judgment that we all deserve for our rebellion against God, our rejection of him. eternally cut off and separated from our Creator forever, terrible place to be. We can't ultimately get away with standing up against God's word that's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, the word that comes with this power and authority. God will have the final say. We deserve to face the power of his judgment. At this point, you might rightly be asking, where's the good news in all of this? At least 8 times in this service so far, we've heard the phrase, good news. And you're sat there thinking, well, where's the good news in all of this, Adam? Where's the good news? How can all of this end with anything except judgment? Because even if I start to pay attention to God's voice, I'm still a rebel. I've still rebelled against him. I've still turned away from him and ignored him and rejected him. And his word is still a hammer that comes with the power and authority of the Creator of the universe, and it stands over me. How can this end with anything other than judgment? Well, the wonderful good news is that God's word comes into this world now, not just with the power of judgment, but with the power of salvation. That God's word comes into this world now with power that breaks down rebellion in human hearts now, so that out of that rubble, new lives can grow. God's word coming with power and authority now to break down rebellion in human hearts now. So out of that, new lives can be built. And that's what many of us in this room have experienced, isn't it? God's word coming with power, breaking down our rebellion and our opposition to him, breaking down our old way of life, so something new could grow up in its place. Salvation. Because these words that are like a hammer are the words of a saving God. A saving God who came down from heaven to earth to deal with our rebellion. Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh, the ultimate revelation of God in this world, who came to deal with our rebellion, those ways that we haven't listened to God as we should do as his creatures. Dealing with our rebellion as he did when he was dying on the cross, taking the judgment that we deserve on himself. Dealing with our rebellion as he did when he rose again from the dead. It's a sign of the new life that can be ours because of him. Coming to deal with our rebellion so we can have new hearts, new lives, new hope. And this Jesus Christ speaks into this world today, words of power and authority, words of salvation, words to break down our old lives of rebellion and resistance against God, so that he can build a new life in its place. New life of knowing our Creator, a new life of forgiveness, a new life of peace, a new life with hope for the future, no longer a cry of anguish, but a shout of joy on the day when he comes back. If we reject that word, if we reject the words that he speaks, that Saviour, then there is no hope for us. There is no hope for the future. We'll stand before God guilty. We'll face the punishment we deserve. No hope if we reject those words. And if you are here this morning and you have been rejecting those words that Jesus speaks into this world with power and authority, today is the day to stop ignoring those words. Today is the day to stop rejecting those words. Today is the day to ask him to break down your rebellion against your Creator, your disobedience. Today is the day to ask him to humble you, to bring you down before God, that you can be lifted up as someone new, one of his people. Today is the day to take the warning seriously, that this word of God that comes to us, this word of judgment and salvation, is not a word that can be safely ignored or safely rejected. It's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, not safe to ignore. But if we ask Jesus now, then we can know that hammer breaking our rebellion now, our rebellion being dealt with now, not on the day of judgment, but now. And if you have been rejecting this word, I'd love to pray with you afterwards if you want to know what it means for you to listen to this voice of Jesus speaking with power and authority. I'd love to pray with you afterwards. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you have been following Jesus, but you've been building up in your life a new resistance to God's word. You've been starting to close your ears to what he's saying, starting to avoid certain things that you hear him speaking, starting to resist that voice of power and authority that comes to us in this word through the Bible. And I'd love to pray with you too, to pray for God's help, to listen with new ears, to take seriously what he is saying to us, to embrace the continued work of that hammer in the lives of God's people, dealing with our ongoing sin and our ongoing resistance, that we might know more of that new life that Jesus died and rose again to give us. That ongoing work of the hammer as God continues to work in the lives of his people through his word, changing us to become more like our Saviour. If you have started following Jesus and you feel yourself closing your ears down to what God is saying to you, pray and ask for his help this morning. And there is, as we close, one final prayer that we can join in praying together as a church here in Lichard. As we think about this description of the word of God as like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, this image that comes to us with a word of warning, I think we can pray together as a church that this word of warning would be an encouragement to us in our mission here in Lichard. We were thinking last week, 80th anniversary, 80 years of Lichard mission here since 1938. We had our AGM on Wednesday, thinking about how we can keep shining light into the darkness here, seeing the gospel spread, seeing God's work spread here in Lichard. And we look outside and it's a big job, isn't it? To work to bring light into the darkness when so few people know Jesus as their Saviour, when there's such hostility and resistance and we see the darkness. It's a big job to bring light into that darkness. It's a big job, and we could think all that God's left us with is a book. No, friends, more than a book. The words of our Creator coming with power and authority, still speaking to us through these words in the power of the Spirit, more than a book. I think of words that the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10 that will appear on the screen, where he says, the weapons of our warfare, as we seek to shine light into darkness, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're not just human things, not even just a book, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. Divine power found in the weapons that God has given us, including the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, this word that's like a hammer, this word that comes with a power and authority with the one who speaks it. This word has divine power, not just to shatter our resistance to God, but to shatter strongholds in the world to shatter strongholds in Lichard and in Bridgend, in communities and in the hearts of people who don't yet know him, to bring new life. We think about the mission we have as a church here, and we can feel small and weak, because we are small and weak. But here God in his word gives us a hammer that comes with the power and authority of the creator of heaven and earth. The hammer of God's word that's at work in our lives here as he makes us better witnesses to our Saviour, and at work in the world accomplishing the purposes that God has for Lichard, Bridgend, Wales, beyond. It's all God's power. We don't control it. We don't control God's power. We don't control what gets broken down, when and where and how. But friends, if we keep putting our confidence in this word of God and keep proclaiming it as a church, this word that God has given us, and we do that prayerfully, faithfully, his divine power will accomplish what he intends, breaking down strongholds in the world, causing new life to grow. Tomorrow, you open your Bible, perhaps with one of the new booklets from the table. You open your Bible and you read and you listen to God's voice. And I don't know what image you have in your mind when you open the Bible each day. And maybe you have that image of the Bible being like a light. Or maybe you have the image of the Bible being like honey, not one we're looking at in this series. Or like the Bible being milk or whatever else. Can I encourage you to also have that image of the Bible as being like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Maybe not the most familiar image or the most comfortable image, but an important one that God gives us of what his word is like, an image that humbles us before God. We can't stand against him, but an image that encourages us in our service of him, because the world can't stand against him either. He will accomplish his purposes in salvation and judgment here and across his word, his world. This image that comes with a warning, but a warning that drives us to him and to know him more and see more of his work. His word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in two. Praise him for that image this morning. Let's pray together. Father God, we praise you for your words. We praise you that you speak into this world with power and authority. We praise you for the power of your words to salvation, that many of us know new life in Jesus Christ as you have spoken to break down our rebellion and build new lives among us. And we thank you that you speak with power in judgment too, that you don't allow opposition to good to stand, but you accomplish all of your purposes for your glory. And we ask that you would help us to listen, to take seriously what you say to us, to recognize your power and authority as we read your word and hear it. And we ask that you would give us confidence to keep standing on that word here as we work together to proclaim light into darkness. You'd give us confidence about how you are at work, how you are at work through your words, by your spirit, in power, for your glory. Amen. Well, we'll close by singing another prayer together. Restore, O Lord, the honour of your name, a prayer that God would be at work in power.